All right, welcome in to the Cheap Seats podcast, brought to you by the Upstate Sports Network. I'm Jake Martino. Alongside me, my partner, longtime partner now, Jared McCabe. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. It's been way too long.
I know. This has been a really long time, but we're back into things now. This is episode one of the Cheap Seats podcast.
Many.
Yeah, hopefully of many. So let me start with this. Sound like my good friend Colin there. I'm going to talk about Zeke's holdout. So currently, he's holding out in Cabo, looking for a contract extension. He has 2 years left on his deal. And it seems to be that his deal isn't what the Cowboys are looking to accomplish right now. Because the known big three now in Dallas, Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, and Zeke Elliott, two of these players are looking for new contracts coming up in this offseason, Zeke Elliott not being one of them. And Jerry Jones basically came out and said, you know what? You can hold out all you want, but running backs don't win Super Bowls. He said it straight up. I'm throwing that out, direct quote. I don't believe that at all. I mean, Zeke's a huge part of this offense. And him not being there because of a contract issue, don't get me wrong, he still might be working in Cabo, like training and stuff. But I mean, it's such a different game when you're training with your teammates, and he's not doing that. So, Jared, let me ask you, how much does this really affect the Cowboys going into the preseason, especially the regular season?
Well, first of all, I'm a Giants fan, so I'd love him not to play. But this is how I look at it. You gotta look at it. The running back position, you're not going to get paid as like a quarterback would get paid or wide receiver. You're just not. But I think what Le'Veon did last year is going to pave a way for a lot of running backs to do what he did last year. But there's something different to what Le'Veon did. Le'Veon knew he was a free agent after his holdout, so he knew that someone was going to be up front and pay him. Zeke's not a free agent after this year. He's a free agent after 2 years, and he could pop that third year. He'd most likely get franchise tags. So he's in a no-win situation. So are you really going to hold out for 3 years? I don't think so.
No.
But Zeke has all the leverage in this. Because I'm sorry, without Zeke, Cowboys aren't going to the playoffs.
Nope.
They're not winning a Super Bowl.
Nope.
And Dak Prescott is not an elite quarterback without Zeke. I don't think he's an elite
with him.
But Zeke helps him get to that potential. And you can't trust Dak without Zeke because I understand that all the quarterbacks are going to get the money because the quarterback's the most important position on the football field outside of the offensive line. But Zeke has all the cards in this, but I still think it's the Cowboys. They'll finally get a way to get it done. But if you're Zeke, you're hoping that you have a deal before a week before they kick off against the Giants because you really want to play that first game and really help your team.
Yeah, and set the tone early. Yeah, but he's already came out and he's been like, all right, so I'm not playing until I get a deal.
But like Le'Veon opened up that way for every running back now, because I'm sorry, like the Giants will probably have the same issue with Barkley when he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
Because the running backs, they die off at the age of 30
on. Yeah, they don't get the money.
They don't get the money, and that the average they'll give you is $10 million a year. And I
just think he's holding out. Like, so I definitely think the Cowboys.
He deserves it.
No, yeah, don't get me wrong.
But the quarterback's a high priority for any franchise over a running back because with that offensive line, you could plug Alfred Morris back there and he'll won't have the same type of year, but he'll be a very good productive running back that could possibly get you to the playoffs.
So this is like a tough situation with the Cowboys, especially because you have three players.
I was just going to say, Amari Cooper still in that conversation.
They all need money. And I'm sure the Cowboys have given Zeke like some sort of like counter offer,
yeah,
but they have only so much money that it's going to be split into three.
And it's hard because it's a salary cap sport.
So it's going to be Zeke's going to get 30, Dak's going to get 30, and Amari's like, who's going to take the pay cut? Like,
in all honesty, I wouldn't pay Cooper anywhere near the top because he's good. Don't get me wrong, but he's not Julio Hopkins worth type money. But Zeke has all the cards in this, and if he sits out a year, he sits out a year. But how long is it going to be? Because it's not like Le'Veon, how Le'Veon was going to hit the open market right once the season ended. This is a completely different situation.
Yeah,
and that's what a lot of fans are getting confused by. It is like he's not a free agent. And off the top of my head, I'm not really sure. I'd have to look it up, but I believe Melvin Gordon's in the same boat.
He's doing the same thing.
I don't think he's a free agent after this year either. So it's like, how long are you willing to take off your career just to wait for a contract? Which is obviously the running backs are like basically saying pay us because we do a lot too. But history has shown that running backs,
they don't make it
by age 30 and then things change. And it's just not a big priority anymore. And that's why a lot of people freaked out when the Giants took Barkley too, because like running backs die off by age 30. So we're doing, but there's just so many reasons, and all this is just going to keep on adding up because you're going to see a lot of running backs like this in the future that was just going to do it just because Le'Veon did it. And
so you brought up Melvin Gordon. So he requested for a trade. If you're the Cowboys in this situation, do you trade Zeke? I mean, if this just gets to a certain point, like...
Wait, who are we trading, Gordon or Zeke?
Are we trading Zeke?
I would not. But the other aspect, too, is the only thing that the Cowboys have a little leverage is they can't trust Zeke off the field.
He's so immature off the field.
But I'd still put my leverage on Zeke just because of how talented he is, just because of what he brings to the offense. But back to your question, only way I'm trading him is if I get maybe two first-round picks, future first-round picks, a good second, and a quality player that I could plug into my defense or possibly offense. Otherwise, I am not looking to trade him unless it gets really ugly that he just doesn't want to play for us anymore. But I don't think that's going to happen because it's Jerry Jones. He's desperate to win another Super Bowl because he hasn't won one in forever. And I think he's going to find a way to get it done. And I think that may come the expense of maybe Cooper may have to go.
That's just my own thing
because I'd rather have Prescott and Zeke over Cooper, and you could still try to find someone to replace Cooper, but he's still a big part of their offense also. But if I had to pick two, it'd be Prescott, obviously, and Zeke.
I just don't know why they keep going with – why Jerry Jones keeps going back to, like, the old ways where it's, okay, you have a quarterback, you have a wide receiver, you're winning the Super
Bowl. Problem is, though, too, they got studs on the defensive side.
I know, and they have to pay them, too. Vander Esch
and Jalen Smith, you got to pay those guys, too. So someone's going to have to – someone's going to get franchise tagged. And someone's going to get their contract that they want, and that contract starts with Prescott and Prescott only.
He deserves it. Don't get me wrong, that's the domino effect.
That's the domino effect. From once Prescott gets signed, that's when all the dominoes will start to fall on that squad and see who gets paid next. Obviously, the linebackers, Vander Esch just got drafted. Jalen Smith just got drafted a couple years ago. Vander Esch was last year. So that's something where you can wait and see for the defense, but you got to remember it's a salary cap sport. So like you have to be smart when it comes to this. And obviously, like I said, I think they'll get it done, but
I just don't know when. I feel like it's going to be this waiting game. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk about
this. It's a game of chicken. Who's going to blink first? That's a game of chicken. Who's going to blink first, Zeke or the Cowboys? That's all it is. I'm sure they've been exchanging numbers. I'm sure they've been exchanging all different types of things within the contract. But I'm sure the Cowboys are within a number that he wants. But at this point, it's a game of chicken. Is Zeke actually going to hold out? Is he going to get cold feet and want to be like, all right, I got to play. I got to play. Or is the Cowboys going to get cold feet realizing, boy, we got Alfred Morris. Yes, like we have a great offensive line, but like he's not Zeke.
Is this just his immaturity stints where he's just like...
I don't think it's that. I just think that he knows he's arguably the best running back in the game, and he brings a lot to that offense, especially with a quarterback that doesn't have a great arm, can't really do much without him. and the defense stacks. The defenses stack the box against Zeke, and that opens up throwing lanes for Prescott. So, like, without Zeke, you don't have to press the box. No. You can go wide, cover three, guard the receivers, and you're basically fine. And if they hand it off, I'm sure you can stop Alfred Morris or anyone that's back there. So no, this is why Zeke, in my opinion, has all the leverage in the world with this. And it's just going to come down to who blinks first.
He's so important outside of the run game that mm-hmm. you can't afford to.
And you can even block. You can catch. You can do everything.
You can't afford not to have someone like that on your offense.
I'd be shocked, though, if Prescott takes a pay cut. I'd be shocked.
I think he'd be the type of person
that so much for this organization. Again, I don't want to get too political with like how like the whole kneeling situation back when that was a big thing, but he was all for his owner Jerry Jones. He said the right things during those rough times when I'm not going to get into that whole smear like all that whole stuff, but like Prescott was always at his locker talking and like he said all the right things. Didn't have to put any of his organization down or any of his teammates down. He said all the right things, and he's done a lot for this organization.
Yeah,
just won them a playoff game last year, and you have to build off of that. You can't take a step back and not make the playoffs, or make it back and not win a playoff game. So he's done a lot for them.
So is Zeke at the same time.
I'd just be shocked if he doesn't take a pay. I'd be shocked if he takes a pay cut. So absolutely shocked
with all of this like happening. It was kind of like the end of the year last year, coming into this year about Jason Garrett being on the hot seat. Do you think he still is? If anything like this happens, like
I think he should be. I don't think one playoff win should make you have your job safe just because of you're the Dallas Cowboys. You're the richest organization in football and probably all of sports. And what has he done for this squad?
Not much.
Not much. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I have a short leash with him. If he doesn't make the playoffs, I think he should be fired. Yes, he's done some good things here and there, but come on. Like,
we haven't seen a really good Cowboys team
in a while.
No. And not under Jason Garrett, but
like there was what year was it? It was one of the early years when he just got hired and they were actually pretty decent. It was the Dez year where he didn't catch it, supposedly in Green Bay. That's probably the best Green Bay team I've seen in a while. I mean, Green Bay, Dallas team I've seen in a while. And that just one call basically like possibly killed their chances of going to the Super Bowl that year. Just from that one call. And I think that's kind of set them back a little bit.
Don't get me wrong. Dallas has drafted very well. Like they're really underrated for their draft day picks. Like they've gone defense, they've gone offense, but now like I don't know, just all of this with Zeke, it just seems like it's just a lot of like drama that you just don't need right now. When you're a contender in the division, like you don't need this right now. Mm-hmm. Like. And if you're Zeke, like, why are you doing this? Like, you're in a perfectly fine situation. Like, is money that important to you where you're putting that over playing? And
you're going to see that a lot because, like, you're not – in the NFL, they don't have guaranteed contracts like they do in baseball and all the other sports. So that's why I think there's possibly going to be a lockout in a year or two because the players are going to want that guaranteed contracts. But when you have a salary cap sport, it's kind of hard to give them guarantees. Contracts like that, but I kind of side on the players with that just because like you're going out there and you could possibly die any minute or get hurt any minute and you have no guaranteed contracts. That's why they were the Cowboys wouldn't have an issue cutting Zeke just like that because there's no guaranteed money there.
Right.
And a lot of people can say it's selfish for what he's doing, but I'd want a guaranteed contract knowing the type of player I am and knowing that I'm going out there basically risking my life every day. Not trying to like make it sound like it's like this whole heroic thing playing football, but like, you know, there's an injury could happen anytime and your career's over.
Yeah.
So I see both sides, but I just think far and away Zeke just has the bigger leverage just because of what he brings to the table for that team. And like I said, if I'm Zeke, I try to at least get the contract done before the first week before kickoff, just because I can still get my work in, practice with my squad, and know the playbook, and go from there.
All right, this is the Cheap Seats Episode 1 with Jared McCabe and Jake Martino. We'll be right back after this.
Back. All right, so welcome back to the Cheap Seats Podcast. I'm Jared McCabe with Jake Martino. We're going to play a little we're going to have a little game here, buy or sell segment. It's basically whether you'd buy into the current season or sell them. So we're going to go a bunch of different teams around the world of sports and kind of argue buy or sell for each squad. So we'll start in the Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees, they're 35 games over 500, first place in the AL East. They're either on or they're off, but at this point, I'm a Yankee fan. I just hope everyone's healthy and they're ready to gear up for an October run. Jake, are you buying or selling them?
Buying in a minute.
Even though we're in middle of the season, are you buying them right now?
No, I'm buying them in a quick minute. They're that good of a team. I mean, this is just this type of team where, I mean, they're nearly hurt every single game of the year. They have some chunk of their team that's fighting an injury, is on the IL, or is just like, or you have players that just aren't good, but yet they've still managed to grind out and be one of the best teams in the entire league. So for that reason, I'm buying.
And you trust the rotation? Because that's the biggest question mark out of the whole thing.
Well, here's my issue. We'll use today's game for the example. They did it as a so-called bullpen day where they would bring in.
They always start Chad Green,
which don't get me wrong, he is a very good pitcher.
They were 3-0 going into 3 or 4-0 going into his, because they're perfect on his bullpen days. But
yeah, don't get me wrong, Chad Green is a great pitcher, and you get so many consistent outings out of him. I mean, today gets all the way to the fourth, it's 0-0, and then here's my problem: they pull him. They put in someone that's
Stephen Tarpley today.
Yeah, who's not like
he's had a good year for them, but it's something that's we talked about it earlier before the show. Like, I didn't really have an issue with the bullpen day just because of you have so much wiggle room right now that like you can kind of mess around with some things, and if you lose to the Blue Jays, you lose to the Blue Jays or not. It's like they're so far ahead. Yes, you want to get home field advantage, the best record in baseball throughout the playoffs if you get the best record. I honestly, as long as you win your division, I think you're fine.
I think if they had it, it would definitely help.
Oh, it definitely help, yeah.
But like, they would need it.
But like, if you're going to play the Dodgers, I don't think playing in LA would bother them, because I think we've seen over the years when the Dodgers get to the World Series, they like to lose for some reason.
It's more of like going to Houston. And just, playing, would you rather play Game 7 in Houston or would you rather play Game 7 at Yankee Stadium?
That's the big thing, but like Houston's a powerhouse. I don't know if you could catch up with them for home field, but anything's possible in a short series. And just for the rotation part, I think it's really important to see what you get with Severino in September.
I mean, like if they get this lock, like for the home field, they don't have to like carry this anxiety. Like, all right, if we get the first two or three games from Houston, like, are we going to have home field? Like, it's not going to be like that. They're going to have it no matter what. So, but I think Severino comes back. I mean, he's already said he's doing good with his new throwing program.
Even if he comes out of the bullpen, I think that's a big plus.
Oh, yeah. Because in your bullpen day, you get your starting ace. Like, you're fine. I think the Yankees are going to be a team that, because of this trade deadline BS with people like, oh, Cashman, like, he didn't get anyone.
You're not going to overpay for a B-plus, C-plus starter.
I think they're going to be a type of team where they're just going to be, like, riding this wave the whole season, and then they're going to get to the postseason, and people are going to be like, holy shit, the Yankees can actually play baseball.
As long as they can stay healthy, but definitely I'd buy into them also.
Yeah, I'd buy them as well.
Can someone call Brooklyn, baby? The Brooklyn Nets. They probably won the offseason this year by getting probably top two players in the league, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And then they got their third player in DeAndre Jordan. They made some really interesting moves. I don't really think it was a big shocker that they ended up with KD and Kyrie, just because I never came up with the thing that they thought they were going to go to the Knicks. I just didn't believe in that one bit, just because the Knicks are bad. And I just don't think they would want to put on that pressure of trying to bring the Knicks back to relevancy. But right now it's a big question mark, just because whether you're going to get KD next year, like not this upcoming year, but next year, what is he going to be after an Achilles injury? But for now, I would sell on Brooklyn
for this year,
just because of I'm a Celtics fan. I saw what Kyrie did when it was just him. And I don't know, man, this team's even younger than what the Celtics were. I don't know. I'm not going to call him a chemistry killer, but you got to have some chemistry. Maybe him being in Brooklyn will help, just because he's closer to home and he's not in Boston. But for right now, I just sell on Brooklyn, just because it's a wide open NBA season, which I'm really excited for, because I never used to really be into the NBA as much. I'd watch it, but I wouldn't be as crazy into it as I am like college basketball. But like with everyone with two stars max going to all different types of teams, it's going to make it really exciting. But for this upcoming year, I'm going to make it clear. This upcoming year with just Kyrie, I'm selling Brooklyn.
Yep.
But once KD comes back, I'm buying that easily, just because Kevin Durant's really good. But I'd probably buy it partially, if that makes sense, just because I don't know what I'm getting from KD. But
no, like, don't get me wrong. Like, okay, so we'll take last year's team, for example. They have Russell, Allen, Dinwiddie,
LeVert. Until he got hurt.
They're a B-plus team. Like, they're not a bad team in the NBA.
Yeah.
But you're taking Russell out of the equation. You're shipping
Which,
him off.
Honestly, you're upgrading. If you look at similar game, you're upgrading with Kyrie.
You are. You're getting more of an experienced player.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think
the chemistry, though, that's a big thing.
I just think Kyrie's immaturity in Boston and what I saw him do with that team, I just don't know if he can just walk into the Barclays Center and be like, "What's up, guys? Let's go. We're going to win a championship." Like, I don't know about that, because you know, with him, he's got this mindset that he's like everybody's friend and he's fine. But then, like, we start getting like 30, 40 games in the season, then we're hearing stuff like, "Oh, Kyrie's going bad," like all this type of stuff. Like, I just don't know with this season in particular if they can really make a run like that, because, like you said, their chemistry is just not going to be there. I think the year after, when KD comes back, okay, there's a bond. Like, KD's gonna be over Kyrie. Like, he's gonna control all this nonsense that Kyrie's got going on.
Kyrie's got to realize that once KD's back, it's KD's team.
Yeah, it's not his team.
And we'll see how that works out, which I think it probably will, because we've seen what he did with LeBron. So,
but like, he gets to a certain tipping point, like he got with LeBron. Like,
yeah,
at the end of their time together, they got to this like this love-hate relationship. And now, like, now, even now, like in this free agency, people were like, "Oh my God, Kyrie wants to go back and play with LeBron." Like, that was what we were speculating for the longest time.
What it boils down to is Kyrie's just an interesting dude. There's no way around it.
No, he is different.
He's a different animal. And I just don't understand how you go from being so well-liked with LeBron to just out of the blue saying, "I want to get traded," going to Boston, saying they made up, and then coming out and saying, basically calling out his teammates, saying, "I can see what LeBron went through when he was trying to be a leader of the young Cavs team." Says he's going to re-sign himself in Boston, though, but then just completely does a 180, and just the whole season just was bad. I don't know. Just a really weird situation. But so far, we're 2 for 2 on agreeing with each other for buying and selling. We'll stay in the NBA. We'll take our talents to Golden State, where, like I said, this is a wide open year. Normally, going into the season would be like, pretty much Golden State's going to be in the finals. We just don't know who they're going to play. But now that KD had his exit, Klay Thompson's on the shelf for most of the first half. They brought in Russell, sign and trade, but they still have guys like Curry and Draymond. But now you got likes of Sean Livingston's gone, Andre Iguodala's gone. A lot of their young bench is gone, so now it's really, really young. It's not really as that big vet bench that they normally had in years past. buy or sell, Jake? Are you buying or selling Golden State?
I'm still going to buy this year only because I have that much faith in Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, for that matter, that he's that good of a coach that he's going to be able to, like, control this team and really put them on a good path. But I think Russell, I mean, he is a great, great shooting guard. And that's exactly what Steph Curry's going to need in this time without Klay Thompson. He's going to need a shooter next to him. I thought that was a great pickup. I think, like you said, it's very wide open still. But I just don't see this culture that they've built exiting the NBA so quickly. Like, I without KD and all these guys, I'd give them a season and be like, okay, their cultures, their franchise, their championship culture is gone. I still think Draymond's going to walk in and he's going to be like, all right, guys, we're winning a championship this year. Steph Curry's going to be like, all right, guys, we're winning a championship this year. And then when Klay Thompson gets back, he's going to be like, all right, guys, we're winning a championship this year. Like, I feel like there's still going to be that type of team where their only thing they're thinking about is, are we going to win a championship?
I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to sell. Just, I understand. I like 100% what you're saying. I think this is going to be the year where Golden State's not going to go away, but they're going to go away, not for good, but they're going to go away for a season, just because, I think the last five straight finals are going to put a toll on this team. You kind of saw it this year in the finals when they looked out of it. But Kawhi just was amazing. But I don't know. I like the Russell pickup, but he's not really a shooting guard. His strength is not shooting. And with Klay Thompson out for most of the first half into the second half, most likely, you're playing two point guards that are going to want the ball a lot. And I watch a lot of Nets games. D'Lo is not a great shooter. He can put he's good at putting the ball on the deck and driving to the lane, dishing, finishing at the rim, but he's not a great shooter. I don't know if that's could kill them in the long run. But like you said, I still believe in Curry. I still believe in Draymond, but a lot of those guys are gone. Andre Iguodala, even though he's up there in age, he was heart and soul that squad coming off the bench or making limited spot starts here and there. KD's a big loss, like we all know. But
they were fine without
him. They were fine without him, yeah. But I just, for right now, I could see them at the fifth seed at best.
Oh, I'm not saying they're going to be a one
seed. No, I agree. I know. But I got to see how that works out with Russell and Steph. But my friends in college, I got two friends that are Nets fans, and they were always like, well, let's keep Kyrie and Russell, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, no, 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 no. But then when I saw when he went to Golden State, I kept on saying, this reminds me of Phoenix when they used to have Brandon Knight, Eric Bledsoe, and Isaiah Thomas, all three point guards, and they played two in the starting lineup, and then one would come off the bench. I don't like having two point guards in my starting rotation just because they're guys that want the ball all the time, and that's going to be something different for Russell because he's going to have to know how to spot up, shoot. And obviously he's not Klay Thompson. And it's going to be really interesting to see what Steve Kerr does, because I think this is the first time throughout this whole Golden State era that we're actually going to see Steve Kerr do a little bit of coaching again, just because when you have KD, you don't really have to do much coaching. You just got to try to keep all those personalities in check, because they had a lot of great players with their run. We're going to go back to Major League Baseball, because the other team in town, the New York Mets, have just won 16 of the last 17 games. They're on fire. They're the ticket of town. Mets fans are really excited. Now they're a game out of the first wild card because of the Nationals. They beat the Nationals twice this two nights. They're going for the sweep tomorrow. But buy or sell, can they make the playoffs? Will they make the playoffs or will they fall short? I personally think they'll fall short. I'll sell for this, but I wouldn't be shocked if they make the playoffs just because of their great rotation. But I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think they're the Nationals. I just think the Nationals can still pick it up again. They're not winning the division just because the Braves are really talented. And don't sleep on the Milwaukee Brewers.
No, do not. Or the Cubs, for that matter.
I still think a Central team is getting the second wild card. between the Cubs, Cardinals, or Brewers. Who does not win that division, I still think, gets that wild card. But I don't want to, like, just completely sell short of the Mets just because what they've been doing is impressive.
Yeah.
And their rotation's really good, even when they just strengthen it by getting Stroman. But for all, I just think they'll fall short. I think this is their real test facing the Nationals and the Braves, because they have to go to the Braves to go to Atlanta in the next series. But if they sweep the Nationals, still impressive. I'll give them that. But I want to see how they do in Atlanta series too as well. But I think they're going to fall short. This is a really magical run, but I feel like they're going to fall short at the end.
I'm going to sell temporarily only because I've watched baseball for such a long time that I know, like, little spells like this with teams mid-season, they don't last. Teams like the Cubs or the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Astros, like, teams that have had these magical runs, like, they carry on with it. This is just, like, the Mets finally starting to play good. Like, don't get me wrong, the Mets don't have a bad roster, and they're not supposed to be bad, but they have been. And now they're starting to play good. So I'm selling temporarily just because I don't know how long this can last, but they have the, like,
it all comes they have down the capabilities to, their bullpen, to do it. Honestly, it comes down to their bullpen, because their bullpen has been really bad, but they're finally starting to pick it up again once they made a change for the bullpen coach, and he's done a lot with them. But it's sometimes their offense hit or miss sometimes. And right now they're clicking on all cylinders. It's just all home runs. Don't get me wrong. So, like,
I think this Atlanta series is going to be a huge,
like, test. Even if they sweep the Nationals, like, that's big time. Cause I always said, if they can do well against the Nationals, that's a start, but let's see what they can do against Atlanta as well. If they take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta, that's still pretty impressive. Yeah. And with that pitching staff, anything's possible. So, I think we're in agreement on that. That even we're still selling, there's still a really good chance that they could still squeeze in to the playoffs. I'm really excited. Football is literally around the corner. I know the preseason just started, but I still consider it around the corner just because I don't really watch a lot of preseason games, but I have been just because I'm a Giants fan and I got to see what I got out of my man Daniel Jones. So we'll start with the Giants. We're talking Giants and Jets, but we'll start with the Giants. Buy or sell on their season. Right now, I would just put it, I would not buy or sell at all right now. Got to see how health-wise is going into the start of the year, just because Sterling Shepard has a banged-up thumb. Golden Tate's probably going to be suspended first 4 games. Got to see how Ingram and Eli and that whole offensive line, the whole offensive tandem works. If everything could go right and their defense is really good, I'd buy. But it's the Giants. We've seen how these years have been going. It's easy to really just say sell, sell, sell. But if everything goes right, they could be in the wild card spot. I just think this is Philly's division to lose, because I think they're that good. But I guess if I had to pick one, I guess I'd go buy just because I'm a crazy fan. But, like, everything literally has to go right for them to go well, just because they got a lot of youngsters on the defensive side. But we'll wait and see on that.
I'm selling,
honestly, you can go right or wrong. It's literally not right or wrong with the Giants, just because this is going to be a really fascinating year.
Like, I'm selling, but I'm not, like, everyone's so quick to just, like, be like, oh, the Giants, like, they suck. Like, yeah, they're just throwing them completely right off the building. Like, they're gone. But I still think that this Giants team, it's going to be better. It's not going to be worse, or they're going to be a better team than what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not buying into them yet, only because, like you said, they're so young. Receiving core isn't that great.
I just think without Odell, good receivings. I think the receiving is going to be interesting, because you can spread the ball around.
Yeah.
And you don't have, Eli won't feel that pressure. Like, man, I got to throw it to Odell, else he's going to be pissed because he only got 2 receptions for 26 yards.
Right.
Like,
I think this is going to be a huge year for Saquon. Don't get me wrong. This is going to be a huge year for him. I think he's going to lead the league in rushing. Like, he's going to be a great player, but I'm not, like, into the rest of the team enough to buy into them. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to buy into the Giants because I don't like the Cowboys and I don't like the Eagles. So I'm, and the Redskins are not winning. They're not winning at all.
Yeah.
That's why I give the Giants the third place spot ahead of the Redskins. But I want to buy into the Giants, but I just don't buy into the full circle of everything. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm selling.
If DeAndre Baker and Janoris Jenkins can figure out a way to be stopped, locked down corners, and you have Julian Love probably playing slot, have Buffet playing safety, and Julius Peppers, if that whole secondary can come together along with the offensive line and Eli actually have a decent year, which Eli has been getting killed a little bit for some stuff that's not even his fault. He actually had a pretty decent year last year. It was just that the offensive line was horrible and the defense just couldn't stop anybody. But if everything goes right, they could possibly win the division, even though I think the Eagles are still better. But they could definitely squeeze in as a wild card team. And finally, for buy or sell segment, the New York Jets. They were big ticket spenders in the offseason. Got Le'Veon, got Jamison Crowder, another receiver for Darnold to work with. They got C.J. Mosley, the middle linebacker from Baltimore. They did a lot of spending, and then it got a little weird. They drafted Quinnen Williams, which was probably a lot of people said he's the best player in this past year's draft to beef up that defensive line. But the weird thing was they did all that. They drafted Williams. They did their free agent signings. But then they fired their GM, Mike Maccagnan, and then they hired Adam Gase as their head coach. And then he had all the say in all of this. And then there were rumors that he got pissed off because they gave too much money for a running back, blah, blah, yada, 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 all this stuff. And then they bring in Douglas, but that's the Jets for you. I got to say they're much improved, though. In year two, I want to see what Darnold can do if he can take that leap forward. But I think they're going to be a playoff contenders, but I'm just selling because there's a one team in that division, and it's called the New England Patriots. Jake.
I you can stop me right there because that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm selling quickly.
Honestly,
only because of that reason.
The Jets look really good on paper, but we
all
know. They
do, just like the Browns.
We all know. Games aren't played on paper, and they made some really good moves that I really, really like, but it all comes down to
this. I mean,
they
got Le'Veon Bell, for Christ's sake.
Like, he's probably going to prove that he's still one of the best running backs in the game. But you got the New England Patriots in your division. You already locked them as the winners. But I will give the Jets this. They're the biggest threat in that division to beat the Patriots.
Which is something we don't hear at all.
Like, yes, they have beaten them in previous years in the regular season. But those were just teams that were just scrappy, and they were hyped because they were playing New England. They knew like they could make a name for themselves beating the Patriots. But this is just a whole different team. The Jets are a lot better than these other teams that have beaten the Patriots. And they're the real threat in that division to beat them. Buffalo, I'm sorry, you ain't going to do it. And the Miami Dolphins, you're just a joke as a franchise as it is. So for right now, I'd sell just because of the New England Patriots. And I want to see that next step that Darnold can take. If he takes that next big leap forward, that'd be great. So coming up for our final segment here in the Cheap Seats podcast, if you could pick a duo, which duo would you run with and why? So like I mentioned, a lot of NBA players have jumped ship to new franchises, but I like it because it's two big star players joining different teams, teaming up, and Jake and I are going to discuss which duos we would pick and why. Stay tuned. This is a Cheap Seats podcast here on Upstate Sports Network. Well, welcome back to the Cheap Seats podcast. I'm Jared McCabe, and that's Jake Martino. I want to applaud you if you've listened all the way through, because we've had a little technical difficulties with the third segment. We recorded it, did everything that we said, what we wanted to say, and just the whole thing went blank on us. So our segment was, which duo would you run with in the NBA next year? That segment will be moved over to episode 2. So we just want to thank everyone who listened. And just we want to say we're excited that we're back, and episode two will definitely be coming back coming up next week. So we're sorry for the technical difficulties, but we're happy to be back. So for Jake Martino, I'm Jordan McCabe, Cheap Seats Podcast on the Upstate Sports Network. We will see you on episode two.